Now this afternoon we come to the last of the Ten Commandments, taken from Exodus chapter 20, verse 17. Okay, Exodus chapter 20, verse 17. Read from the King James Bible. Exodus 20, verse 17. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. May God bless us in the reading of His holy and precious word. Am I covetous? What is the meaning of covet? Well, the meaning of covet is to have a strong desire. It contains the idea of delighting in something or in someone. But this something or someone belongs to others. Now, it is not wrong to have a strong desire. In the Old Testament, the Hebrew word tamad appears 21 times in 20 verses. 11 times were translated as desire. And 4 times as covet, 2 times as delight, and then 1 time each, you know, for other, you know, different words, but similar meaning, not such as lust, such as pleasure, and so on. Now, so the word tamad is a word that simply means desire. Now, it can be both good and bad desire. So it depends on the object of desire, as well as the context in which this desire is found. Now, one example of a good, strong desire is Psalm 19, verse 10. Okay, Psalm 19, verse 10 says, more to be desired are they than gold. Okay, the word desired is the word karma. Okay, more to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than the honeycomb. Now, this is a good desire that a believer must have on the Word of God. However, if the strong desire is on something that is bad or prohibited, something that is evil and sinful, well, it will normally be translated as covet, as what we have seen here in the Ten Commandments. Okay, so, the strong desire in these Ten Commandments is translated as covet. And so the Ten Commandments warns against having this strong desire after someone's house, someone's wife, someone's servant, someone's animals, or anything that belongs to this someone. And so it is everything that belongs to others that a believer is not even to think of having this strong covetousness, okay, to possess them. Now let us look at the commandment number 10. Carefully, okay, Exodus 20, verse 17. And let us look at each of the items, okay, that God has so specifically listed for the children of Israel to take note, not to covet after them. Now, first we see that thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Now, the house is a very big personal item. A house in the Old Testament could be passed from generation to generation, from the parent to the children, and then so on. And normally it is left to the elders of the family, okay, to take over the house, while the rest of the siblings, well, would either build their house nearby, okay, or they will simply live together. Now, a house can come in different sizes. It depends on the financial situation of the family. Bigger house means the family is in a better financial status. Smaller means the financial condition is not that good compared to those who live in bigger house. Now, today's context is quite similar, isn't it? Perhaps it depends on the size, depends on the location of the house that indicate one's social status, okay, as well. Well, maybe you live near outer area, city area, or if you live in condos, living in landed property, or your address is along Bukit Timah Road, into all the private estates. So it does speak volume of your social status. Now, why will one cover other people's house? For the one who does not own any house at all, probably hope and wish for a house above his head that he could house over his head. But for him to cover someone's house would be wrong, because the motivation behind it will be this covetousness, desiring after someone's house. And this covetousness is to take over the ownership of the house, which belongs to others. And so this strong desire becomes his motivation to work evil against his neighbor by hook or by crook, so that I may possess his house. Now we have one Old Testament example. The example of King Ahab. Somehow he had this liking, very strong liking, over Naboth's vineyard. And so he tried to strike a bargain, a deal with Naboth, but Naboth refused to sell this land to him. Full stop. Now he as a king, he owned everything. He has everything to his name. But he desired this vineyard so much. He couldn't think of any other thing but this vineyard. But this vineyard does not belong to him. And so he felt very miserable. But his dear wife, Jezebel, did something to put into action. You know, the act of covetousness had been put into action. And so what she did was, she seized Naboth's vineyard and killed him forcefully. Take the land from him. And then gave it to King Ahab. Of course, King Ahab was very happy. Finally, what he has covered from the beginning until now, he thought that he would not be able to possess it. But now it is finally rested on his lap. So easily. He did not even care about Naboth. Whether he died or not, it doesn't matter to him. He just won the vineyard. Well, is that not covetousness that is full of evil? Coveting after other people's house, other people's property. Beware of this sin of covetousness. And so covetousness is what that leads to such a grievous sin, which God hates. And so do not covet after your neighbor's house. No, especially when you already have a house. Be contented. Be thankful. Do not think with evil that you are a better owner of your neighbor's house. That may be better than yours, may be more expensive than yours, may be bigger than yours. Be thankful. Be thankful for what God has given to you. Now then we come to the next. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife. Now the wife is a living person. Yet the house is not. But both living or not, it is the same, isn't it? It belongs to our neighbor. And so the principle is still the same. We are not to covet anything that belongs to our neighbor. And so we are dealt with the house, you know, the property. And then now with a living person, the wife, someone that is very intimate, very dear to this neighbor. Now this, whether living or not, belongs to our neighbor and not ours. You must realize that whether we are single or married, okay, having a strong desire for someone's spouse, okay, is already wrong. Okay, don't even think about it. Because you who are single, if you allow your affection to grow, if you allow your strong desire, you know, to continue upon this person who is already married. Do you know what that means? Well, it means that you want to be an adulterer. Even as a single person, because of your strong liking for someone who is already married, you will become an adulterer. since that person is already married. Okay, so to go ahead with such a strong desire means that you also desire the marriage of the person you desire to be broken, as well as the family to be broken as well. Now, if you are married, it is even worse, isn't it? Not only you want the marriage and family of the married person that you desire so much to break up, you are also desiring your own marriage and your own family to break up as well. Now, such covetousness is very real. We're not talking about something that is far away from us. It is so common nowadays. How many marriages have been broken because of adultery? Adulterous affair is still the number one cause for the high divorce rate today. Marriage broken, family broken, and children living in broken homes have all become so common. You ask our children, each class, at least half the class comes from a broken family. Very sad, isn't it? Now, commandment number 10 is definitely behind. Commandment number 7, thou shalt not commit adultery. As well as commandment number 8, thou shalt not steal. And so you covet after someone's wife, you are also breaking the 7 and the 8 commandments. And so you break one, you break the others. And God does not want us to break this commandment. God does not want us to end up in broken marriages, broken relationships, broken homes. Now, as believers, we must know that God makes no mistake in putting where we are in our relationship, in our marriage, and in our home. You may be going through a very trying relationship, a very difficult marriage, but don't give up. Don't allow the evil one to come in, to plant the seed of covetousness. You know, the devil is very smart. He will bring along someone. When you are facing a difficult marriage, he will bring along someone who will come to comfort you, who will come to entice your heart, to plant this seed of covetousness. Oh, this man or this woman is better than my spouse. Oh, how caring, how gentle, how loving. And then you allow your covetousness to continue. The strong liking, the strong desire to go on. And then before you know it, you fall into sin. You committed adultery. But do not let covetousness even begin. The moment you see someone trying to become the third party, no matter how good that person is, you know what is the right thing to do in the sight of God. Do not even let the sin of covetousness begin. So you control your mind. You control your heart. Let the word of God guard you. Guide you. And know that God is above you. God will help you. God will strengthen you. Ask God to help you restore the marriage. Restore the love that you ought to have for your spouse. Do not covet after your neighbor's wife. Love your own wife. It is also the same for the wife not to covet someone's husband. So do not let the strong desire that is forbidden to even start in the first place. Now we come to the manservant as well as the maidservant. Now having servants are very common in Old Testament time. Probably due to big family or family that are better to do than others. Can afford to have servants at home. But not many can have this luxury of having servants at home to do everything for you in the house. But for those who cannot afford, do not covet after those who have. Now it is interesting that God is so detailed that He separates the gender of the servant into manservant and maidservant. Now manservant is naturally stronger. He will be in charge of the heavier stuff. Okay, maybe more strenuous work, especially so when the house is big, surrounded by a very big garden, or fields in the land. that belong to the master. Now, surely the manservant will come in very handy and able to deal with all the heavy duty stuff. Whereas the maidservant, well, will be more towards the lighter chore. Well, such as cooking, okay, looking after the kitchen, or even to look after babies, babysitting, looking after young children, or even waiting upon the master to meet the master's needs. And so in short, these servants are doing everything for the master. The master will be served, well, like a king. But not everyone has the luxury of having manservant and maidservant under them. And this commandment number 7 forbids any covetousness for your neighbor's maidservant or manservant, for they belong to your neighbor. So don't even think of desiring them to be yours, because they are not yours. As long as they belong to your neighbor's servant, they will not be yours. Now, in today's context, it will be a covetousness upon other people's workers, or even including domestic helpers. Wow, so good to be served. So good to have a good worker working under you. But then when you look at your own worker, you just complain. You just feel that they are incompetent. But then when you look at others, wow, so good. How nice I would have these workers to come under me. That is covetousness. But the Bible says, do not covet. And so what do we do? Well, we should appreciate. We should appreciate those who work under us. We should encourage them to do better. Because for all you know, your encouragement may help them to realize their weaknesses. And then they will want to improve. They want to do better. And then you will go beyond your expectation. And so do not covet after your neighbor's workers or helpers. Now then we come to the animals belonging to the neighbor. Both the ox and the ass are farm animals in the Old Testament. And they are used to work on the field. Now we look at the ox first. Now the ox is much bigger and much stronger than the ass. And so they were used to till the land in a more faster way. In fact, longer and more powerful than the ass. And in fact, in the Bible, you will find a commandment given to the children of Israel not to put the ox and the ass together as they plow the field. Okay, because for one is stronger and the other is weaker. The one who is weaker will not be able to catch up with the stronger. In fact, it will slow down the stronger one. Now, seeing the ox is a very useful animal to work on the field, this commandment number 10 says, do not covet after thy neighbor's ox. Now, you may also have an ox. But then when you look at your neighbor's ox, wow, his ox is better. More powerful, stronger, can work longer, maybe eat lesser. But then we look at your own ox. Well, maybe better slaughter it and eat it as food. You're not contented. You're not happy with what God has blessed you. You just want what belongs to others. Well, we must always remember, what belongs to others does not belong to us. Are you thinking of stealing? Now, same for the ass. Now, not every farmer can afford the ox. The ox is much bigger and more expensive. But most farmers can afford an ass to work in the field. Now, even then, do not covet your neighbor's ass or donkey. But there is really no excuse at all to justify covetousness. Oh, it does not really add to the loss, a greater loss to them. In fact, I just covet. It's all in the mind. It's all in the heart. I did not really do anything to make them suffer the real loss. Can I covet? Well, we will deal with that later. Now, finally, we are told, thou shalt not covet anything that is thy neighbor's. Anything you can find inside the house. Anything you can find outside the house. But still, all belong to your neighbor. You are not to covet after them. In fact, you are not even to think of desiring them to be yours in the first place. Now, commandment number 10 warns against the sin of the heart, because it is something that is inside us. You look at the rest of the other commandments of the Decalogue. All these other commandments, normally they are expressed externally. People know when you are breaking the commandment. But then one commandment that is so easy to break without anyone finding out, because it is a sin of the heart. It is something that happened inside. Even your face may not show. Your body language may not show. No one may know what is going inside of you. The inside is a sin of covetousness that is brewing, that is developing, that is growing. But God knows. God knows whether we have this sin of covetousness. That's already taken root. That's already been growing inside. Are we guilty? Am I covetous? This is a question of self-examination. Well, mom may justify saying, what does it matter if I lust against my neighbor's wife or covet after my neighbor's big car? No one is harmed anyway, since it did not really happen. I just desire only. I did not do anything that harmed them. But such an evil thought is already a direct disobedience to God, because it is disregarding the God who is omniscient, who knows all things, and also the God who sees all things, who is omnipresent. He can see through our heart. He can see through our mind. To let this sin of covetousness continue is to disregard the presence of God. Are we thinking that God is dead? That he did not see what is inside our heart? Or do we say, never mind, it is a small matter? It is so small that sin doesn't cause any loss to others. I can continue, and God will understand. God will just allow me to have this form of a little satisfaction, a little fantasy in the mind. Anyway, it did not really happen. But we cannot buy God in this way. We cannot determine the outcome according to what we think is the right thing to do. In fact, by harboring such thoughts, are we not also sinning against our neighbor? If you were to have this sin of covetousness against your friend's wife, against your friend's husband, how are you going to face him or her? Inside you, you are having this covetousness. Then externally, you are very good to the person. You're still smiling to the person. You're still fellowshipping with the person. But then inside are all these wicked thoughts, wicked desire. Can you really face this friend, this person whom you have coveted again? You will be a hypocrite, isn't it? Because inside is all the wickedness. But then externally, you just show forth your friendliness, as if you are really good to the person. But inside are all this evil and wickedness. And so how? How can we arrest this sin of covetousness in the heart? When you look at the Ten Commandments, the most important commandment is commandment number 10, or commandment number 1. Thou shalt have no other God before me. When God is in your heart is completely guarded. The sin of covetousness will not be able to enter in. When you keep the very first commandment in your heart. Now, Apostle Paul rightly said Okay, in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 6 to 8. Okay, let me read to you. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 6 to 8. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. Paul did not say, oh, just be contented. You're all right. But he says, but godliness with contentment. So in other words, we must have godliness. And this godliness is to be godly like Christ. Now how to be godly like Christ when Christ is not in your heart in the first place? When the first commandment is not even in your priority. When you're not even honoring God and believing in Him as the Lord of your life. And so that's why the first commandment is very important. Thou shalt have no other God before me. And that's where we're able to exercise godliness. And so to be godly is to follow Christ. And this is only possible when God is in our heart, that Christ is in us. And we must be constrained by the love of Christ in all that we think and say and do. Every single desire that we have, we want God's approval. We want Christ to say yes. We do not want Him to say no. If we say no, then we better don't do it. We better repent. Get rid of this desire. Get rid of this judgment. God wants us to follow Him wholeheartedly. That even our desire must be approved by Him. And so we must be contented. When we have godliness, we will learn to be contented with what God has blessed us. We will not be eyeing on other people's belongings. Those things that does not belong to us. We will not be lusting after them. Instead, we will be satisfied. We will be happy. We will be thankful for what God has provided for us graciously. Well, truly, this is a great gain, isn't it? Because we realize that when Christ is in our heart, it is all that we need. It is our everything. That's why Paul says, and having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. Well, food and raiment come from God. He doesn't say the amount. He doesn't say, no, the measurement. He doesn't say that, oh, only when I have this portion of food, this portion of raiment, then I can be contented. No. It's in any amount. God knows what He is doing. And I just trust in Him. And I put my life in His hand. So that there is no sin or covetousness to be found in my heart. Is that your determination? Surely, there are many who are very successful in this life. They will not be very far from us. They are our friends. They are our siblings. They are those who are near us. And then we see their success. But perhaps some of them are unbelievers. But they are pursuing the things of this world. And they seem so successful. And then when we look at ourselves, why are we lagging behind? And then we become very discontented. We begin to eye more on the things of this world, thinking that all these things can satisfy us. Seeing how this thing has satisfied others, we want to be like them. But that's when we lose sight of that which is spiritual, of that which is good for us. And so what is good for us? What is good for us has been prescribed for us in the very Word of God. The chief end of man is to glorify God. and to enjoy Him forever. With the little that God has blessed us, is how we may be able to glorify Him. Of course, if you are being blessed much, thank God. Because that means that you are able to bless others even more. But do not complain. Do not murmur. Do not covet when you think that you have been blessed so little. Be thankful. Be contented. Christ is our everything. Because we have been convinced. That a man, no, is not judged by the thing that he owns in this life. So when we stand before God, what will God say to us? Will God count our success based upon how much we own? The kind of house that we live in? The thing that we possess? Or rather, will He look at how faithful we are in obeying Him, in giving Him the priority, in honoring Him in every aspect of our life? And that this sin of covetousness has been put away from us. That even when others are successful, we do not covet after them. We thank God for them. We praise God for them. We are happy for them. If the Lord has blessed others so much. And we pray that God may use us. You know, whatever that we have for His eternal glory. So the world will promote covetousness. But let us not follow the world. Let us not fall into them. And as a result, sin against God. And so we must work hard, definitely. We must strive our very best. For Jesus' sake. Because we want to put God first. We want to honor Him. Even in the heart. Go beyond what we say and do. We want to honor God in our heart. So that this sin of covetousness. Will not be part of us. Anymore. If it does. Remove it. Right now. Immediately. Because if we were to. Allow it. You know, to stay on. Before you know it, it will become a reality. Sin upon sin. And sin will lead on to more sin. And so we must arrest it immediately. It must be removed completely. Do not covet what belongs to others. Be Christ-like. Be thankful for what God has blessed you. Let Christ be your everything. And when you realize that Christ is your everything, you have no lack. No lack at all. Because Christ is your everything. And so that means there is nothing for you to cover anymore. Maybe the only thing that you want to cover is to cover the praise from our Savior. We want the commendation. We want Him to see our faithfulness. To see our heart that is truly for Him. And so let Christ consume us till the day we see Him face to face. Do not let the sin of covetousness dwell in you anymore. Let Christ and His Word dwell in you. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank Thee for Thy precious Word. Help us, O Lord, that we may arrest this sin of covetousness and not to allow this sin to grow and to continue, to dwell within us. O Lord, we pray that we will remember Thy Word and that Thy Word will enable us, will empower us, not only not to sin against Thee, but also to do that which is right in Thy sight, in obeying all Thy commandments, which will help us be a holy witness in this world that is full of darkness and sin, that others may see the Lord Jesus Christ in the way we live, that they may be drawn to Him for salvation. for only Jesus' sake. Help us, O God, that we may not shame thy name, and that our testimony will not bring shame, but rather to bring glory to thy holy name. Help us, O Lord, that we may be found faithful all the way to the end. We commit all this with thanksgiving. In Jesus' name. Amen.